Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Shortcoat Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues and interviews
by students for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
Welcome back to the Shortcoat Podcast. I'm your humble servant, Dave Etler, and I'm surrounded today by some of the more amazing people that you could ever want to meet. Say hi to Rob Humble.
Good noon hour, everyone.
Say hi to Tony Rosenberg.
Pumpernickel.
Say hi to Alex Volkmar.
Hey, David.
And let's definitely welcome new host, Nicole Morrow.
Hello.
Oh, man. Did you hear the sound of her voice? Do that again.
Hello.
Oh. So beautiful. Nicole, why did you finally decide to grace us with this beautiful voice?
Alex guilted me to finally try it out, and then I said, all right.
What power does he have over you?
Coffee.
Coercion.
How does that... Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hey, guess what? We've got a listener question to talk about this week. Are you ready to hear from Mitch?
I'm so ready to hear from Mitch.
All right. Hope to God you can hear this.
I'm just emailing to say I've really enjoyed the show. I'm a pre-med student doing an internship in France, preparing a bit for the MCAT and admission when I come home. Do you guys have anything that you wish you knew before medical school?
Is that a real question? Yeah. Do you have a real question?
Mitch wanted to know if... I'm sure that's how... Okay, so he sent me an email, and it is an audio program, and so I just did what I usually do, which is run him through a text-to-speech processor. And I tried to pick...
I was going to ask if that was Mitch's real voice.
I tried to pick... Well, I mean, I tried... Based on just his name, I tried to pick what Mitch would sound like. Because I think that sounds like a Mitch, don't you?
Yeah.
So Mitch wants to know, basically, what do you wish you knew before you started med school?
How to relax. You're going to be doing a lot of waiting during that application process, and I had to learn patience the rough way.
What was the rough way?
By waiting and waiting and waiting and not distracting myself with other things.
What would you have done to distract yourself?
Had more
Make
hobbies.
It clean. Keep it clean.
More hobbies.
If I know you.
Well, you know, we're in Iowa, so there's not a lot of mountains to climb, but maybe some...
Maquoketa Caves.
That's true.
You could have sort of set up a tent in there and just lived there for the next X
I do hate sunlight.
Yeah. What about you, Tony? What would you... Let's move into medical school, though, because the wait is inevitable. It's horrible, I think, probably. But what did you wish you knew about medical school before you got into medical school?
Well, I was kind of in the unique situation that I actually dated someone through her entire medical school process. So I had a little bit of an idea of what to expect, but I don't know. I think it's really not that bad. I mean, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of stuff to do, but you're surrounded by a bunch of really cool people and it makes it a lot better than you think it would be. And everyone else is doing the same crappy things that you're doing every day.
Yeah.
So really, I feel like I have a life. I still like do things I enjoy. I went to bed at 10:30 yesterday after reading a book for a half hour, which was great. So I feel like life goes on, and it's really not that big of a deal unless you're a gunner and like wanting to do derm, which I don't.
All right, I feel like you might be full of crap. What do you think, Nicole?
I wish
like
I
this whole med school is easy.
I didn't say it was easy.
It's no big deal. All I have to do is read my textbooks, and I'm fine. What do you think?
I mean, I wish it was like Tony and could just, read and relax. No. I think that the thing I wish I would have known would have been to keep my hobbies. Like, fall semester, I didn't really do as much. I thought I had to study all the time, and that was awful. So I got better at, hey, I'm going to go grab lunch with a friend instead of study. I'm going to take a night off. I'm going to go play soccer. And
I started playing my saxophone again.
Yeah, I don't know if our listeners know this, but Tony plays the saxophone.
I play the saxophone.
I'm really hoping that he will regale us with stories.
I could do that if that's what we all decide.
Tell us about your saxophone, Tony.
I was just a very intense human being growing up, and routinely would be playing my saxophone, and there would be like blood all over the reed. I'd get very intense. If I missed a note, I would like punch a hole in the wall. I did that once at Allstate when I went to go audition. I went in there and auditioned, And I came out of the room and I tore my music in half and kicked over like a row of stands in front of me.
I'm really glad that you...
Everyone thought I was insane and I might have been.
I'm kind of glad you got rid of this level of intensity before we met.
No, you should see him when patient interviews don't go well.
I really wish that I met high school Tony.
Yeah. He was a great guy.
Sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Alex, what do you wish you had known? Before you entered med school. I think everybody here is too laid back.
Really?
Don't you think? Except for Tony.
Watch out.
A little bit of a problem.
I guess everyone kind of figures out how they're going to get their studying done during their M1 year. I thought I knew what was best for me going into it, but I guess that just gets refined over time.
I've heard it changes for every class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Sure. Every class is definitely different,
and for every semester, it's different.
You know? Yeah.
He specifically wants to know. So we've talked a little bit about stress management. We've talked a little bit about learning techniques.
You said Mitch is from France.
Well, Mitch is in France right now. I don't know where he's from.
Okay.
Debt. He wanted to know what about debt.
There's a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
make friends with it.
The thing is, you have so much debt that. It's like it's not even there. It just goes right exactly. over your head, so it's like you're rich.
Yeah, it really is the case. It's like, what's an extra $5,000 at this point?
Yeah,
it's like, exactly. Oh, tack on an extra $5,000. What's the difference?
Throw it on.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like a,
it's a really mature, responsible way to handle it.
Seems like a viable debt management plan.
Yeah.
It's true, though. I mean, when you're talking about, like, you know, I mean, you know you're going to spend this money. It's not like you're, not like you can say, you know what, I'm going to cut back on tuition.
Right.
And it's not like you aren't, I don't know, you're probably aware of the debt, and it probably means that you're not going out and spending a ton of money on...
You'd think that.
Well, like I said,
that's just 45-year-old me talking.
Well, I think that I've kind of come to the agreement with myself that it's like an investment in myself, and I enjoy certain things. I like food. I like living in a nice apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, within reason, but it's like there's certain things that I just have accepted that I'll be willing to pay, you know, a little bit more for an apartment that I feel comfortable going home to, as opposed to like living in an apartment for $300 a month.
Your mahogany and lamb's wool headphones that you have on.
I do have those, yeah.
Mahogany and lamb's wool.
I'm not even kidding.
The splinters are hell, but lamb's wool is nice. Let's go back to the pre-med school phase. Did you do anything in particular to work hard to be a good applicant? That's one thing he's particularly interested in.
I've been monopolizing this, so someone else take it away.
Well, I mean, you have like all your standard things that you should probably check off. Like, you need good grades. You need a good MCAT score. Most people end up doing some kind of undergrad research, but don't get so caught up in all of those things and the volunteering to forget to take time for things that you personally enjoy. I think that's what really ends up making your application, if you have something that you're passionate about that you can speak to, rather than here's this prescribed list of things I was supposed to do.
So I've been reading recently about like studying abroad. You know, like I feel like this is the like stereotypical thing that med students do to prepare themselves to get a good application for medical school. And I'm reading more and more. There's an article in Medium that I'll post that it's not such a great idea. First of all, there's a growing acknowledgement that people who go abroad to volunteer in, you know, for in a poor country, let's say, are just sort of clueless about what they're doing and why they're doing it and what they're supposed to be doing, what they should be doing. You know, you can't just go to a poor country for instance and go, I'm gonna save them, because that's kind of gross. You know, but I think that's what maybe a lot of people at least think they're doing, like, oh, I'm gonna go and help them, which is kind of paternalistic. And is not so much what medical school or medical education wants you to do these days. So that's becoming less and less of a thing.
Did you guys study abroad? I didn't study abroad. I always needed to work during breaks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 27, so I took a little bit of a winding road to get here. I did a lot of things that kind of...
So you worked. You had a job.
I did have a job for a couple of years. And my first couple of years of undergrad, I didn't take too seriously, so I had to do some, like, repair work in that regard. So, I don't know. I think, like, the biggest thing that I had going for me was just, like, my life experience and kind of coming in at it in, like, a little bit more of, like, a mature perspective.
That actually helps a lot, I would expect.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I was hiring somebody for... I mean, I'm looking at this as hiring you for med school, right?
Yeah.
So if I was hiring somebody for a job, like to be a medical student, I would be interested in sort of real world experience. And if I saw it, acknowledging that not everybody will have that because, you know, there's a lot of people go from college to medical, straight from college to medical school, but
it would be
an interesting thing to see in an application. So if you don't feel like you have a lot of extra experience, I would think that taking a year even to work might be a good thing.
Yeah, and like Rob said, I think it's like it's crystal clear when someone is passionate about something and being a genuine applicant as opposed to just like checking things off of a list.
Take up the saxophone.
Yeah, I can teach you.
Punch a hole in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Or learn to fake how to make your eyes light up when you talk about stuff.
Practice in front of a mirror like a psychopath. What did you do anything in particular, Nicole?
I played soccer, so that was took up a lot of my time. So I could never do a full semester abroad. But I did end up going abroad.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't view it as I'm going there to help them. Really, we did build like a foundation because he did medicinal teas because he was in a very rural area and it was.
Who's he?
The person we went to down to, his name was Gustavo. He, his whole family always had a farm, and he would have medicinal teas because in rural areas they don't have access to as much, you know, like maybe modern medicine.
Yeah.
And they say if you get bit by a snake and you wait for the ambulance, you will die. But if you use this, I don't remember, this vine thing, then you'll live long enough to get the cure for it. And so we kind of got a little bit educated on that, and I don't know, I think I walked away with it with more of an education because I haven't really been exposed to that. I've lived in Iowa my whole life.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really helpful. So I kind of spoke to that, like, wow, there is a big world out there. I know I'm going to be working with a lot of diverse people. I need to learn about them. I need to interact with them. I really liked that. And then, obviously, like I said before, soccer was a big part. Team, you know, leadership. Like, I was a captain, and then...
I want to know what kind of vine makes you immune to snake bites. That sounds awesome.
It wasn't immune. It was, like, you could, like, wrap it around, and you would, like, stop it long
sounds
enough.
Sounds like so elvish medicine from Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah, so...
Sounds fantastic.
Did you... Alex, do you think there was anything that you know now that you thought was going to be a big deal before coming to med school that turned out not to be such a big deal or not so important?
Nope. anything I know now that I thought...
Like, I don't know. Do you think coming in that you would, you know, really try hard to graduate with honors, and have you sort of changed your mind about that, or do you still think you're going to do that?
I think a thing that everyone realizes once they get here is that everyone here is super, super smart, and... Sometimes it's okay to be in the middle of the class. In some areas, you're going to have areas where you do better in, areas where you do worse in, and you just can't let it get to your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say like in either direction.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
What does that even mean?
Like, I don't know. I'm
in either direction.
I'm the kind of guy, if you didn't get this by this point, that it's like kind of trying to get neither too high nor too low.
Oh, okay.
It's like if I do really well on a test, I'm not like, oh, I'm the smartest person alive. Like, I'm going to be a neurosurgeon and med school is easy and I'm going to, you know.
So what you're saying is that you're, in the context of medical school anyway, sort of embracing your mediocrity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like it.
Just like kind of having like a certain amount of humility. And it's like, I don't know, like humility in the sense of like right-sizedness.
All right.
They're like, I'm here. I'm doing my deal.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Well, Mitch, thanks for writing in. I really appreciate your question. If you listeners, if you have more questions for us, just go to theshortcoat.com. You can email us. You can send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. I've answered questions from all those places because that's what we do. We educate the world. Don't we? Nicole's never listened to the show before. Not even once.
Scary thought that I'm educating the world.
I just want to point out, we live in an amazing time. For instance, our flying cars, our artificial intelligence butlers.
I think those are called airplanes, Dave.
Are genetically engineered bodies. I have an extra limb. Isn't that amazing?
Do you have a tail?
Where is it?
I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm guessing tail. $5 on tail.
All of these things are amazing, and it's thanks to the fact that we live in the future. Well, this week, researchers announced that they'd created a bionic fingertip that was surgically wired to an amputee's nerves, and it uses the, quote, language of the nervous system, electrical spikes to transmit information. It allowed the subject to recognize rough and smooth surfaces by touching them with this artificial fingertip. He had no hand, so that's kind of cool. 96% accuracy. That's pretty amazing, considering. Mm. Subject had also in the past tried sensing another artificial hand. It was less sensitive, but it worked pretty well. And even non-amputees are able to use the fingertip with only 77% accuracy, but that's through needle electrodes in the skin. So I thought we'd experiment with the amazing sense of touch.
Do you have one of those?
To see how just how amazing it is. Nicole, turn around behind you. There's some bags. Pass one to each of you.
Yes.
I intended to explain what we were going to do.
I got the only different
before color. Before we started the show, but I forgot because of our technical difficulties, which continue. So what I want you to do is put the bags over your heads so that you cannot see.
Ugh, it's like middle school again.
Rob has an enormous head. He's apparently having trouble.
I had hydrocephalus as a child.
I've got a mega sister and a magna, so.
Really?
Lots of CSF, yeah.
All right, so I'm assuming that you can't see.
Mm-mm.
And I'm going to start, I'm going to pass you an object. And what I want you to do is take it, feel it up. You can talk about it, but don't say what it is.
All right.
Then pass it to the next person. I'm going to start with you, Nicole. What are you feeling there? You might have to lean closer to your microphone, considering you have a bag on your head.
Where is it though?
There it is. Okay. That's fine.
Am I supposed to say what it is?
Well, you don't say what it is yet, but you could talk about what you're feeling.
It's small and hard, and it has ridges on one end, and there's a notch on one side. It's kind of like a rectangle, but it has one corner where it's kind of...
All right. That sounds good. You can pass it on to the next person before this just devolves. Be careful. This is a family show.
Okay, yeah. Like Nicole said, it's small and it's hard and one side's smoother than the other.
Okay.
There is some ridging.
All right.
That's about all I got.
Okay, pass it on.
Corners.
Pass it on. You don't all need to talk about it. It's a pretty simple object in this case. You can just feel it and pass it on.
It's smaller than I expected.
Right?
But, yeah, it's very smooth. I don't know.
It's about the
size of a breath mint. Like those, remember those Listerine
things? What kind of breath mints do you use?
Listerine thingies that you could just take out one and put it on your... Yeah.
Okay.
I concur with all of the above.
All right. There you go. You can put that down and don't take the bag off your head just yet. I want all of you to say at the same time, what is it? 1, 2, 3, go.
Memory card for a memory thing.
Yep.
So it's a flash. It's a little flash card, like a smart. So that's good. Did anybody not get that right? I couldn't tell.
I didn't say anything.
I think Rob and I pretty much carried that home.
Yeah, I think you guys. I think you guys got it. All right. Next object.
There's a bag over my head.
Next object to test.
Did you say bag?
Bag.
Oh.
I'm gonna start with Tony this time.
Okay. Being from Minnesota.
Bagel. I lived in Minnesota for 2 years.
Oh. All right, Tony, what is your amazing non-electronic sense of touch telling you?
It feels plastic.
Uh-huh.
Something I can insert my finger into.
Yeah.
Got some appendages.
Okay.
Probably a face on there somewhere.
All right. Pass it on.
Okay.
Yeah. It feels like a finger puppet of some kind.
You're not supposed to give it away, but okay.
Oh, shit.
Alex, the families.
Pass it on to Rob now that you've
ruined it.
Oh.
Had he not ruined it, would you think you would have guessed what it is?
Yeah, probably.
I think it's pretty obvious, this one. All right.
It has a face.
And, yeah, Nicole's a little bit... There you go.
Oh. Yeah. I would have got that as well.
What do you think, Nicole?
It definitely feels like it has fingers. It does have fingers. It has the 10 fingers.
Appendages.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It, yeah.
All right. Ready to guess? More uselessly. 3, 2, 1.
An expandable memory disk.
Finger puppet.
It is a finger puppet. You can take your, lift up your bags. You can take a look if you want. What did you do with it? So there you go. It's Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein finger puppet. Okay, put your mask back on, please. Oh, Jesus.
What?
I was an idiot. All right, next. Here we go.
Ooh, it's got some knobs on it. Some nubbins.
Yeah, remember, don't.
Did the knob receptors on your skin?
I know what it is, but I'm not going to say.
Don't say what it is.
It feels like it has a screen on it.
Okay. Ooh. Why don't you pass it on?
Okay.
The knobs are twistable.
Okay, yep.
Twistable.
It's rectangular. Smooth, a little rough in the back, but that's okay.
It's nice that you're open to all.
Here you go, Rob.
Alex doesn't discriminate.
No, he's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what this is.
For real?
I don't think so.
Oh, I knew the instant I touched it.
All right. Why don't you?
Yeah, there's definitely twisty knobs. I would agree they're twistable.
Okay.
One side smoother.
All right. You can pass that.
There's Nicole's hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I know what that is. All right.
I think Nicole knows what it is. So, Nicole, hand it over. Ready for your guess?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Etch-a-sketch. Etch-a-sketch, yeah.
Is that what you guessed, Rob?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, yeah. How did you...
The twistable knobs gave it away.
Oh, all right. I thought you weren't going to get it. I was hoping for something more humiliating. All right. One last time. Let's go... Yes. That one.
Oh, nice. This feels good on my hands. It's got some nice wheels.
Yeah.
I
like how you pronounce wheel.
Thank you. It's got a part that you can open and close.
Good, good.
It seems like it would help the earth.
All right. Pass it.
Pass. Can you elaborate on that?
It seems... Yeah, I think I know what it is. It's rectangular. It has a lid that you can open and close obnoxiously.
Good, good.
The wheels that you mentioned, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wheels. All right, pass it on.
Oh, man, I'm so humiliated, I think. I don't know what this is.
That's what you said the last time.
Yeah, and then you got it, yeah. So... All right, pass it on.
You're one of those kids, like, before a test, you're like, I don't know anything.
He's a gunner.
Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely not true.
Pass it on. Your time is up.
There are wheels.
Wheels.
Oh, I get the environment now.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a larger version of this, I believe, in my house.
You might, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, because I'm a bad person.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Recycling bin.
Garbage can truck.
Recycling bin.
What the?
A truck?
I thought it was a moving truck.
There you go.
I was going to say a truck initially, but then recycling bin.
All right. You know what? We'll do one more. We'll do one more. One more.
Ooh. This feels like it'd be very fun to wear. And...
All right. You know what? Pass it on.
Ooh. Very soft on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So, I mean, I guess isn't the right word. Prickly? I don't know.
You go from soft to prickly.
Soft and prickly.
Just like Alex likes it.
Next.
You just tell by the way that Rob picked it up. It was like, what?
Yep. I think I could wear this.
All right.
You could pull it
Pass
off.
Pass it
on. Oh. I feel like this would go... I feel like this would go great with, like, a Halloween costume.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you thought this was soft? Really?
The wrong words came out
of my mouth. It's like coarse, more so.
There you go.
Yeah, and long.
All right.
Very long.
Let's do a guess. 3, 2, 1.
A wig.
Nice. Oh. Actually.
Is
it like a beard?
It is, in fact. A beard.
I think it's a beard, yeah.
A chin
beard.
A chin wig, yeah.
And there you go. All right, one more. What the heck? I keep saying one more, but I've got some. All right.
I have no idea what this one is. Feels like it's got a handle on it. Mm-hmm. I'm grabbing something handle-like. Whoa.
All right. You could pass it on.
What? Oh, my goodness. Whoa.
Did it bite you?
I feel like...
I'm scared.
I feel like there's a trigger of some sort if you can get it figured out. And your hand fits into it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you squeeze it.
All right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Has some, I would say, like, thorn-looking things or, like, ridges on the back.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, probably for, like, defense.
Oh,
so okay. I was thinking, yeah.
Squeeze it and see what
all
happens.
All right. All right, 3, 2, 1.
Toy dinosaur.
It is.
Wow.
Well done. So your senses of touch are you can take your bags off. It's not really doing you any good in general. Is the air fresh now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job. Whew. Did we learn anything? No, we did not. We didn't know.
I think that answered Mitch's question.
It did.
Med school is about fun.
That's right.
Well, so Mitch, just put a bag over your head and grab stuff.
If there's not already one there, I mean, I feel like if you're in France, as Mitch is, and I don't know if Mitch is good looking or not, but maybe the French put a bag on his head when he arrived. I don't know. That's probably not likely.
Go to the store, buy a baguette. Get a bag for the baguette, mm-hmm. Eat the baguette, put the bag on your head. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Nice.
But not plastic, because that's dangerous.
That is dangerous.
You guys, bad news.
Oh.
Bad news?
CDC is not happy.
Uh-oh, Ellie.
With doctors, nurses, and hospitals. Because a third of hospitals rated by Consumer Reports have low scores for preventing C. diff. And these aren't just any hospitals, by the way. These are some big names. Harvard, Hopkins, Cleveland Clinic. CDC says that they're all germ factories. They say it's the basics, like hand washing, room cleaning, overuse and misuse of antibiotics, hygiene when inserting catheters and such, lack of attention for emerging outbreaks. Other big names on the list include Brigham and Women's, Cedars-Sinai, Yale, New Haven. Consumer Reports also calls out the use of proton pump inhibitors as a possible reason. We've been learning more about that lately in the literature about how they increase the risk of C. diff. So, get hand washing, really? 2016 hand washing?
The amount of men that I see leave the bathroom without washing their hands on a daily basis is disgusting. So that doesn't surprise me.
Get a grip. Well, I mean, wash your hands. People, that's just like basic. You go in the room, you wash your hands, talk to the patient, you wash your hands when you leave. This is like, don't they pound this stuff into your head?
Yeah. Also, I would like to add on to Tony's point, the amount of women that I see when I'm in the bathroom that just leave and don't wash their hands is also
through
the church.
It's a little bit creepy.
It's all ew. There's no gender difference here. Ew.
I think when I was working as a CNA, we had to use a special protocol for C. diff, you had to wash your hands actually with soap and water versus hand sanitizer. We have special types of wipes that we use when you bring anything out of the room. They're a little bit stronger than the normal ones. So I don't know, I just feel like people may wash their hands, but they're not doing it properly, because to do it properly, it takes a while, and if everyone's always busy, it's like, oh, I washed my hands, but really you didn't, or you touched something.
Get a grip.
Get a grip. Mm-hmm. Get a grip on clean things. Only touch clean things. There you go. Hey, on the good news front, West Virginia lawmakers have stood up to the tyranny of the FDA. You guys read about this?
Uh-uh. West Virginia Mm-mm. did something right.
West Virginia sounds milky stood to me. Up to the tyranny of the FDA. Tired of health, they apparently sought the right to consume raw milk, and legislators celebrated the passing of a bill giving them that right. One of those victorious lawmakers by the name of Scott Cadle was rightly excited that they'd won this victory against big government, celebrated by handing out samples of the titular delight for their fellow legislators. That was a pun right there. I don't know. Been meaning to work the word teats into the show for a while. The fact that several of them got a tummy bug soon after is probably a coincidence, right?
They claimed it was the flu, I believe.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the flu.
Mm-mm. When it was pointed out that raw milk can contain bacteria and parasites, which science says can make people sick, lawmakers apparently replied, "Okay, professor."
You just nailed that impersonation.
I'm picturing also missing tooth.
One sufferer, lawmaker Pat McGeehan, said, quote, "There's definitely some other colleagues that have suffered similar symptoms that I've been experiencing. Cadle caught me in the hallway, offered a cup to me. And you want to be a gentleman. So I had a small sip and walked away and tossed the rest of it." So there
sounds
you go.
Like a bad frat party.
This is an anonymous complaint to the state's Department of Health and Human Resources led them to investigate the illness. So I guess we'll find out the mysterious reasons why this happened. I mean, you know, it could have been something that was going around anyway. I mean, you know, people get sick all the time, right? Might not have been the milk. Let's just say that. You may respond to that if you like.
It has been said.
I think the government should just leave us alone in peace to not vaccinate our children and to drink whatever milk we feel we want to.
Anybody ever had raw milk before? I'm not really sure what...
I'm lactose intolerant.
I'm not really sure. Way to... Okay. Thank you, Tony.
I played the saxophone.
I can't drink milk.
Nobody's tried raw milk? I've not tried milk.
I have not.
So I can't really talk. Listeners, if you've tried raw milk, definitely get in touch with us at theshortcode.com.
We could have me try raw milk the next time we podcast.
I don't know that I'm going to expose you to... Because I just kind of feel...
It'd be a great experiment.
A little gross about it. It would be a great experiment, but I don't know if my job would survive making a whole bunch of people sick. If you're a lawmaker, I guess you can get away with that shit. Right? You can go ahead and get as many people sick as you want. You can, but you know, when you're an administrative services coordinator at a college of medicine and you cause a bunch of students to get sick, I'm gonna guess that they're gonna frown on that.
Tony, I know people with cows. Tony, though,
yeah. You do?
I do.
Okay, so we'll do the experiment.
And your office is right next to that.
Drink raw milk.
All right.
It'll be on YouTube.
Fantastic.
Check it out.
Fantastic. Back in episode 105,
What episode is this?
This is 120.
Okay. Ah.
Back in episode 105, we promised you uterus transplants in the U.S., and now it's happened. And unfortunately, it's already failed. The Cleveland Clinic did the procedure. This is only the first in the U.S., actually. There's been a few in, Sweden?
Sweden.
Yeah. 26-year-old... woman whose name, I think we know her name now, right?
I think so.
She's been on TV about it. She was implanted with an organ from a deceased donor, and she was going to have to wait a year before trying to become pregnant, and then she had to heal and stabilize and, you know, make sure that anti-rejection medication was all dialed in and stuff like that. And then they were going to fertilize an egg in vitro and then implant it, and then she was going to deliver maybe two babies to be delivered by C-section, and then the uterus would be removed. So that was the deal. Unfortunately, it was removed. The uterus was removed on Tuesday of this week, so that'll be like two Tuesdays ago by the time you guys actually hear this, because there was some sort of complication which wasn't reported on yet, and I guess maybe by the time you hear this, we might know more. But there's lots of stuff that can go wrong, so it's too bad that didn't work out, I guess.
You said they've done some in Sweden?
Yes.
And was the female able to have a baby afterwards?
That I don't know.
There have been five actual births as a result of uterine transplants.
Do they have to get, like, I don't know how to say it. Do they have to get, like, injected with semen? Or do they just do it the old-fashioned way?
They do it in a dish, and then they do probably... I'm not really sure, actually. How does the... Because if you Do they even bother creating a, say, a cervix that they
probably
could use as access?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I bet it's the IVF.
They would implant it.
Yeah.
Because how do they do IVF? Is that
they take the woman's eggs and then you take them?
You receive donations from both contributing parties.
You don't have to go bad that far. I understand how actual
and then
know,
the, yeah, then
the sperm and the egg come together. How do they get it from the petri dish or whatever into the mom?
The old fashioned way,
I believe, by injection.
Okay, so mm-hmm. it's by injection. It's not. Do they go through the cervix or do they go through the abdominal wall?
What I think they go through the cervix.
Through the cervix. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Oh, you cleared that up for me. Thanks. there have been nine. there have been nine uterus transplants. Five births have resulted. Those were those uteri.
That is the correct plural. I looked
right?
it up.
See that? I'm learning something. I figure in 20 years of this job, I will be able to get my honorary MD.
Yeah.
Because I will know all the things.
Mm-hmm. You'll be better than that kid in Florida.
By the way, we didn't even celebrate our victory, Alex. This
no,
week.
We didn't.
We did not even celebrate on the show today our victory. The Shortcode Podcast put together a team for trivia night.
And won.
Not only did we win, but we won by 8 points, which is actually pretty wide.
It's like a full round.
Pretty wide margin. Mm. We averaged 6 out of 10 points per round.
That doesn't seem that impressive when you say it that way.
Well,
I thought there was a little too many Star Trek references.
What's that?
I thought there were a few too many Star Trek questions.
Well, there was a whole category of science fiction,
well,
so
no
that
wonder
was kind
you
of
won
a problem.
Eight.
Huh?
I said, no wonder you won.
Well, the breadth of our team, I think, was too... Because I think I talked
you had
to the organizers,
team.
And what they said was that the other teams tended to be from a single year.
Mm-hmm.
In med school, yeah. And our team was, you know, you got, you know, the old guy, me, in case I wasn't clear. You got some M1s, we had M2s, and we had M3. I mean, we had almost the whole. We had M4s.
Yeah,
we had almost the whole game.
No M3s, but that's okay. They're
no one needs
worthless.
Thanks, for,
yeah.
thanks
yeah.
for pointing out the truth there. Appreciate that, Corey. Get rid of that truth. Just kidding. You can leave it in. You guys ready for health apps? I mean, we've probably got them on our phones and stuff anyway at this point, right?
I've disabled all of mine.
Did you?
I'm totally cool with the government tracking my every move.
I disabled them like almost immediately.
Wait, so
it was eating my battery.
Okay. So it wasn't a privacy thing. Because apparently, you know, all these apps, they're collecting things like, you know, heart rates and steps and soon, I'm guessing, blood sugar will be one among the things that they can detect. And there are even some mental health apps out there, you know, where you can use it to chat with somebody about your problems and all that sort of thing. Which, in some ways,
is
helpful.
Called Facebook?
Yes. Yes. but half of them have privacy policies that say medical information will be shared with third parties, which is a bit concerning, according to a JAMA report. Analyzed a bunch of apps, about 211 apps that focus on diabetes management, which are available in Google Play, which is the Android app store. And 41 of those apps had, only 41 of those apps had any privacy policy whatsoever that you could look at before you downloaded. And only 4 said that they would ask for permission to share that information. So something to keep in mind when you're dealing with patients in the future is to counsel them. I would think to counsel them, make sure that you choose whichever one you choose, make sure it has a good privacy policy. And that it's not exposing your health information to the world. Rob, we know you don't use apps or health apps. Anybody else using them? Alex, you're a fitness guy, right? You go out, you pump some iron.
I just do it the old-fashioned way. I go to the gym and I just put metal over my head, but I don't have an app for that.
You're
no.
not using apps. You're mm-hmm. not like checking your pulse or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Alex likes doing things the old-fashioned way.
What about you, Nicole? You look like somebody who's pumping some iron.
Yeah. I don't know about iron, maybe, but no, I do have...
what are you pumping?
Yeah, what are the alternatives, Nicole?
Like I ride the bike or the elliptical,
right.
or you
right.
can run. Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's what I meant.
She's pumping like lead.
Yeah, no. I have the aluminium. One of the bands.
You're wearing a
palladium.
Yeah. It's actually not, it's the jawbone, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's a little different. But no, I like it.
Jawbone?
Yes.
Whatever company you are, is it Jawbone?
Yeah.
We're accepting sponsorships.
Yes, please. Yeah, I have medical school. No. It's nice because then I can like challenge people. Like, yeah, anybody that's in your friend group.
Yeah, I have my watch congratulated me on a measly 8,600 steps.
Congratulations, you beat the Chinese.
If they could do that, I would get one. Yeah.
And did you read the privacy policy?
I did not, yeah. But I really don't.
Nobody reads privacy policies.
But if they want to track my steps and do stuff with it, whatever.
Only 6 of these apps said they wouldn't collect personal info from children, and 16 said that user data might be used for advertising. I'm trying to figure out, you know, the sort of advertising that they could base upon, say, your steps.
Are you a 17-year-old female that takes between 5,000 and 7,000 steps daily?
You need these sneakers. All right, I guess I could see that. But so it's something you might want to keep an eye on. You know what? I love you guys.
Love you too.
I love you guys a lot.
I love you the most.
But it's time to go.
No.
I know. It's time to go. Hey, match week is next week. You guys are going to be on probably spring break.
Spring break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you guys jetting off anywhere?
Going off to Portland.
I'm going to Minnesota. Yeah.
Minnesota.
I'm going to walk across the street.
Walk across the street.
To the lab.
Good.
In the lab.
Chicago.
All right. I'm going to be here celebrating match week. But I want to thank our listeners for listening.
Thanks, Mitch.
And
thank you, Mitch.
We'll be back with you in a week.
Thanks, Mitch.